You're listening to Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM. This is Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. To be a part of our program, dial toll-free 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Then you can talk to our hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into a Thursday. Thanks for tuning in with us today, and thanks for all of you that are on Facebook Live. You can also get the show through the ChristianTalk660.com app, and you can go to ChristianTalk660.com and listen to the show stream live on the website. This is Tony Beam, Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier Campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference. Did you get my text message, by the way? Just asking.
I haven't seen it, no.
You haven't seen it, okay. Well, the FM is off the air, apparently.
I noticed that coming in.
Okay, I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah, there's a hang-up over here on the computer.
Okay, that was my wife, actually, faithful listener. Mm-hmm. She had gone to buy some stuff to make a pound cake. And, doing lunch today for the commuters at North Greenville University.
Mm-hmm.
Today's Valentine's Day, by the way, so don't forget, please, that it's Valentine's Day, because that would be bad for your health, bad for your emotional state, bad for your relationships. So make sure you, I saw guys out yesterday, because we celebrated Valentine's Day yesterday. And I saw guys out yesterday, you know, it's kind of funny to walk up to the greeting cards, you know, and there's all these guys standing there staring. And I just kind of walked up and joined them, you know, and I said, well, here we are.
Yeah.
This is it. Big moment. And they, you know, nobody was paying me attention. They all looked rather frantic.
Mm-hmm.
It took me about 20 seconds. I mean, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I know how to pick out a Valentine's Day card.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they don't have that many. I always get one that has a reference, you know, that's a Christian card,
mm-hmm,
that mentions the fact that God is involved in our relationship. And so they only have maybe two. So, you know, with
First
all these
13.
Yeah, everybody's perusing all these other cards, and I'm going, okay, there's the two with the crosses on them. So it's going to be one of those. So it takes me about 10 seconds to find those, and then it takes me about another 10 seconds to decide which one of those, mm-hmm, two that I'm going to use. So about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And everybody else was still standing there when I walked off. I think they were very jealous.
Piece of cake.
Yeah. But anyway, there'll be guys all over the place doing that again today, I'm sure.
Yep. They don't have your experience, that's why.
I know. Well, you know, 38 years of being married, got to have a little experience if you're gonna cut down on the timing factor. Well, the Drag Queen Story Hour, the book is back open at the Greenville Library, or actually Five Forks Library. This is the story from the Greenville News. Just so you know, organizers of the Drag Queen Story Hour said Wednesday that a new application for their planned event on Sunday has been approved by a library official, and they are going to move forward with the controversial event. Earlier this week, Greenville County Library officials canceled the event's initial reservation because it conflicted with a policy change approved at a special meeting this week. I'm glad I read that, because I thought that the dresses had not come back from the dry cleaners, and that's why they were going to have to call it off. So I was glad to know it had something to do with the Greenville County Library. Riley Hunley, one of the organizers, told the Greenville News that a library official approved a new application on Wednesday, marking the latest development surrounding an event which has evoked passionate reactions in the community. James Wooten, a spokesman for the Greenville County Library System, confirmed Wednesday evening that the library approved the new application for February 17th at the Five Forks branch. In January, some residents began to voice objections to Drag Queen Story Hour, an event in which four drag queens were invited to read to children at 3 p.m. on Sunday. Now, they weren't invited by the library. That statement makes it sound a little like, mm-hmm, the library went out and sought them out.
Yeah.
So that's not what happened. Library didn't have anything to do with that, just so you know. It was a private group that's rented or requested or reserved or whatever they do. I don't think it cost anything. I don't know if it cost anything or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe you just have to pay for like whatever the power is. But it's you can get a like a community room at the library, and it's open to anybody.
Wow.
Developments this week have reignited emotions for supporters and protesters. On Monday, the Library Systems Board of Trustees called a special meeting to address the meeting space use policy and regulations. During that meeting, board members changed a paragraph in the library systems policy, the Greenville News has learned. The policy was amended to include meeting spaces are considered public areas within the library, and as such, applicants cannot restrict or limit general public access to reserved spaces.
Well, there you go. So it's open to anybody that wants to go.
Yeah. Wooten said the change was meant to clarify this sentence in the policy because the library is a public facility. Privacy cannot be guaranteed except for lawful executive sessions of governmental bodies. Before this week's policy change, the document had not been amended since September 25, 2017. On Tuesday, county council members were informed via email the event violated the new policy. The library system's executive director, Beverly James, explained in the email that the event's reservation would be canceled. Organizers of the event had used eventbrite.com to offer free tickets. Well, everybody knows that
Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
So, well, I mean, that part. So, anyway, that's it's going to be happening. So, I imagine the protest outside will take place, too, still.
I imagine it will, you know, and we look at, you know. See, to me, it's ridiculous. They bring up all this other stuff. Well, you know, we're going to have the space. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with their First Amendment free speech and all that other kind of stuff. It's the fact that children are going to be there. Somebody has to step up as an adult in the room and say, you know what? We have ratings on movies. We have certain things that we do for children and we don't do for children. And somebody has to say, this is not quite something that children are ready for. Who's going to stand up and do that? Obviously, nobody in the library system. How do you get on the library system? Maybe I need to go run for library board or trustee. It's probably somebody that's
okay. You got my vote.
Given to some friend.
I'll be your campaign manager.
I don't think I've ever. Maybe I voted for a library trustee and I never realized it.
I don't know. There is a library trustee. Is that what that said?
It's unbelievable.
I was going back here to look to see if it's. You know, it may just be employees. It says Greenville County Library officials. So that doesn't sound like an elected group. It's just a bunch of people that work for the library.
Yeah.
So
they're official.
You'd have to go get a job at the library.
Yeah.
You'd have to add it to your other jobs.
Yeah. Well, if they had this going on at the library, I would quit, and then I wouldn't be part of the library again. So now we got that problem.
Nah, you wouldn't quit. You'd be out there. You know, throwing your hat down and making changes, trying to influence the library folk. Look, what Gary just said. It comes back to what we talked about the other day before this thing was called off the first time. The communities have the right under the law to set standards that are based on what the community will or will not tolerate or that the community thinks is right or wrong. And as long as those standards that they set fall within the Constitution, the Constitution gives communities the right or the law gives communities the right to limit certain things that are not in keeping with their standards. So there could be something done about this. I mean, in terms of going forward, there probably can't be anything done now because of the way, I mean, you have to operate under the law that's on the books.
Sure.
You can't change the law now and apply it to this application, but you can sit down now and say, you know what, we had a mess here. We allowed these drag queens to come in and read to children. That's not a standard that we want to embrace in the community. So we need to rewrite the policy so that there has to be some type of standard met before an event can take place on public property. And I think that's doable.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard any library official say that yet. Now, maybe they have. Maybe I've missed it.
I don't know that. You know what? There's so much focus. And believe me, there should be a lot of focus on the First Amendment. And there should be a lot of, of people that are willing to defend other people's right to say things that they don't agree with. And that would include me. I mean, I'm not trying to, again, I'm not trying to say that people who decide to dress up in a dress and read stories don't have a right to do that. Gary's, what we've said, and it's been pretty consistent on the program since this whole thing came up, is the idea of minors, children, participating. And I think there's a community standard question that could be applied here that would at least prevent this from going forward and in the future. Nothing we can do about Sunday, except if you're going to be there, if you want to go, the protest is going to take place outside in the parking lot. And it should be mostly, I mean, it can be anybody really from the upstate, but it should mostly be people from Simpsonville and that area, because this is their, of course, Greenville County. It's a Greenville County library system, so anybody from Greenville County, go if that's something that you feel strongly about. I mean, I think it's a terrible thing to involve children in this, and to bring them into a debate that is a very adult debate that we just, again, don't believe children are really equipped. And what the children are going to be told is that this is fine, and that this kind of a behavior is normal,
right.
And that's going to be confusing, even for children if they're being raised in an environment mm-hmm. where they're exposed to that. There's just a natural inclination for them to not understand or be ready to participate in that level of discussion.
You know, I had to go several places yesterday. I had to leave the station right after the show. I had to go grab my son, here, there, everywhere. I was in downtown Greenville. We stopped at some places there, came back, stopped at a grocery store, dropped him off, came back here, did some other things, ran some errands last night. Didn't run into one drag queen that is so normal and popular in the area. Didn't see one.
Well, there are
some, and they're probably at places that I don't go and places that children aren't allowed to go into. But for some reason, the library is the perfect location for this.
Well, it's the location because that's where public space is made available to everybody, and that's where they got permission to come and do this. Look, this is a national group. They've done this in a lot of places in Charlotte. They were not allowed to do it at the Mecklenburg County Library System because of the fact that they don't provide meeting space. I mean, they have a policy that says if you're going to read to children, you have to be an employee. So their policies prevented it from happening. The library is concerned about this. They met about it. And they found in their policy, they discovered that this group was not abiding by the policy, so they kicked them out. But there was nothing to say that they couldn't come back and reapply and get reinstated if they, stopped doing the things that were in violation of the policy, which is what put this thing back on. So gonna have to go through with it, it looks like. And I would just encourage, again, we did this yesterday or day before, but I would encourage, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go out there or not. I was thinking about trying to make it, but
aren't you preaching in Malden?
I am. I'll be close enough to where it is. But I want to be sure that this is something that is carried out in a way that reflects a Christian witness and testimony. We don't need to drag a bunch of signs out there with, bad pictures.
Nope.
And we don't need to be angry and, raising a lot of angry voices at people. We just need to, speak what the truth is and do it as the scripture says, to speak the truth in love and let people know how a lot of people in the community feel about it. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a good thing. 1-888-660-WLFJ, 888-660-9535. We'll be back in 3 minutes. We've got some more show for you, of course, lots more show. If you'd like to be on the show, it's easy. Just dial that number, 888-660-9535, and we'll get your thoughts out there.
And here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
All right, welcome back. Let me go on with this for a little bit here since we're talking about it. This is USLegal.com, which is a website dedicated to defining legal terms and helping just lay people like you and me figure out what can and can't be done under the law. So this is community standards law, the legal definition. The term community contemporary community standards is a standard used to test description or depictions of sexual matters, which was first adopted by the United States Supreme Court in 1957 in Roth versus United States. In the Roth case, the court put forth its test for determining whether a work is obscene as whether to the average person applying contemporary community standards, the dominant theme of the material taken as a whole appeals to prurient interest. So let me translate that for you. So in other words, in a community, the community has the right to ask the question, would the average person applying the current community standards find the material being presented or the, in this case, the event or the action being taken as a whole appears to be of a prurient interest, which simply means, is it something that is sexual and has to do with violating some type of norm that the community would embrace? This will normally permit the use of county standards or federal district standards if it's a federal case. In fact, community standards may be utilized without reference to a precise geographical area. So in other words, you don't have to link what is defined as community standards to it, as long as the decision that you make regarding limits that you're going to put on activities according to community standards don't violate county or federal law. So this is a door to me. This is what, if I was in charge of the Greenville Library System, and by the way, in the story, the Greenville Library System says, the officials said that they changed the rules to try to deal with this. I mean, they were hoping that a rule change would make it to where the story hour couldn't go forward. Upstate Pride, just to let you know how everybody's voices are speaking into this, Upstate Pride, South Carolina, released a statement Tuesday evening supporting the Drag Queen Story Hour. We at Upstate Pride, South Carolina, support unity and the celebration of differences. We believe in the dignity of all people, regardless of any categorization. Therefore, UPSC fully celebrates and supports Drag Queen Story Hour at the Five Forks Greenville County Library. We hope it can still happen, but if not, another one as soon as possible.
Again, what they just said, totally irrelevant. Yeah, I have no problem that people want to do that. That's up to them. It's between them and the Lord, which doesn't take a big... the fact of the matter is there's children involved, and that's the problem. Why do you have to have a story? Hey, if they want to go and read books to adults, that's fine. Adults are old enough. They can make their decision. If they want to go and see that, that's up to them.
I'm trying to get all the players right here. Hunley is one of the organizers. And here's a quote. I think it's just sad that it's 2019 and yet the Bible Belt is still stuck in the 1980s. There's so much diversity here now. No longer do you go to big cities to get the full culture experience. Unfortunately, the South does have a stigma with anybody who's not white and Christian. So this is their perception. And I guarantee you there are a lot of people of color that are against this. This has nothing to do with race. When you're talking about grown men in dresses reading to children, this crosses all racial bounds in terms of people who are upset about it. And as far as Christian, we have people, and in fact, who call this program that are not necessarily believers, who are not very comfortable with this. They may support it on First Amendment grounds. So this doesn't have anything to do with race or religion when it comes right down to it. It has to do, and that's why I keep going back, that's why I looked up the law on community standards. It has to do with what people in a particular geographic area operating within federal and state guidelines believe is acceptable. And the standard since 1957 in this Supreme Court case in Roth, the standard has been what a reasonable person would look at and say, this is unacceptable. And most reasonable people that I know or that I've come in contact with over this story looks at this and says, this is not appropriate. This is not in keeping with us and who the community is as a whole. And that it's an event that is bringing an element of sexuality into play in with children, which most people would object to. People say, well, just because a guy puts on a dress doesn't make it an issue of sexuality. Well, of course it does. The whole purpose of the drag queens is to dress up like women is a transgender issue, which is, again, something that children, particularly going to the library for story hour, shouldn't have to be subjected to. But we're going to have more and more conversations like this, and there's going to be more events. I mean, the LGBTQ community is going to push these things and do the best they can to drive and push back any kind of community standard or any kind of response put forth by who they consider to be white Christians. And again, that's a bigoted statement, because that puts, you know, you talk about putting people in categories. So now if you're white and Christian, or if you're white or Christian, then you're being labeled as somebody who is narrow-minded. And that's just not true. I just pointed it out. There are people who are in the minority community, people of color, and people all who are not necessarily Christians, who find this to be something that's not appropriate. So that, I mean, I wish they would not introduce their bigotry into this. They're trying to say we're the bigots, and yet they're the ones that are putting people in categories. So that, and by definition, that is bigotry. That's prejudice. 1-888-660-WLFJ, 888-660-9535. You can join us on Facebook Live. Just got to go to Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. That's where you'll find it. You can listen to us online. You can listen to us on the app, Christian Talk 660. And later on, you can download the podcast for free if you go to the iTunes store. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
And here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us this morning. I wanted to talk a little bit about a story by Ben Shapiro today. I've been reading a lot of stuff about Republicans pouncing. Oh, Bob. Yeah, I'm sorry, Bob. We got Bob on the phone. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. How you doing today?
I'm good.
I see you around a lot of situations in Greenville County.
Yeah. We do.
I hate to get back on this situation with this library, but
go ahead.
Who in the world would take their children to sit down and listen to something like that? I don't call that a parent. Who in the world in their right mind would do this?
There are parents who have bought into this politically correct world that says that we have to be accepting of everybody and everything, and that the number one thing that we need to teach our children is that we don't judge anybody based on appearance or their actions or their decisions.
Right.
And the problem with that is it's just not biblical. I mean, we're running right now, Bob, we're running a ad. I think I heard it on the FM this morning, talking about the fact that, you know, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. And a lot of people take that to mean that we can't ever be discerning about something that's right or wrong. Well, if you look down a little bit further in the same place where that passage is found in Matthew, you find Jesus talking about discerning between sheep between wolves and sheep and all that. So in other words, when to judge not has to do with two things. Number one, Christians should never pass final judgment on anybody, because that's God's business alone. And number two, our attitude when we discern between right and wrong should always be humility and not arrogance. We should never look down on people. So all we're saying, and I think this takes us back to the conversation, Bob, about community standards. And that's why I don't understand why the library, and there may be a legitimate reason why the library is not willing to apply that to this. But
right.
Yeah.
And you know what I've always said, Tony?
Yeah.
If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think people need to step up for what is right and turn down what is wrong. But
yeah. Well, and there will be a lot of people doing it. I think, Bob, there will be a lot of people out there Sunday to say this is not right. So
I think so, too.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate what you do.
Ah, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling and being so kind. Yeah, you know, again, please. Let me just grab the word over here, because God's word has to be our guide when we step out. Well, the way we live our lives in public or private needs to be guided by and directed by the standard. If you think about community standards, let's think about biblical standards here of God's word. And when I talk about community standards, I hope everybody realizes that biblical standards are much more important than community standards, but community standards are what have the force of law, secular law behind them, okay? The whole world is not going to accept our understanding of biblical standards, but the courts and the justice system have given us a way to express standards of decency and indecency based on the the majority view of where people are and whether or not a reasonable person living in a particular geographic area would determine that something is appropriate or inappropriate when it particularly with regards to sexuality. And again, you cannot separate the sexual element from a drag queen from this story, from people dressing in drag, going to read books to children. The Bible, God's word tells us that we're supposed to walk in unity and that we should not be carried about by every wind of doctrine, and that the way that we're supposed to express ourselves is to put off, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, put off the concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. It says to us to be angry and to not sin. And then in verse 29, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. So let's stop right there for a second. Grace is God's free gift of mercy. And so when we speak, particularly about a subject that could incite strong emotion, including anger, Christians need to be sure that our speech is coming forth as grace and mercy. And we speak the truth, but we do it in a way that reflects God's grace. Why? Because God has told us that's the way we're to communicate. Paul's telling us this in Ephesians. In verse 30, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, to whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to speak in a way, and look, that's hard to do sometimes. I mean, I see things like this, and my first reaction is, you know, are you kidding me? We're actually going to do this? How dare we? And then I find that those emotions that are tied to that take me down a road that fails to give me any compassion for the people that are bound to a lie, the people that are involved here that are caught up in a lifestyle that they've been deceived by the enemy. And I should have compassion for them, genuine Christian compassion, longing for their souls and their hearts and minds to be changed by the power of the gospel, and broken about it. And then I'll communicate in a way that speaks lovingly and with grace, but also stands firmly on the truth and why it matters whether or not a bunch of men dressed as women go read to our children. That we need to express that and to do it in a way that's fitting and proper. And I believe, look, I don't have any reason to think that won't happen. But if it turns in, you know, if the protest turns into something ugly, then we've compounded a problem. I mean, you actually what you do is you've got the problem of the drag queen story hour, and then piled on top of that, you have a reaction that doesn't reflect a biblical standard when it comes to how we're supposed to react to one another. So I just, and I know, but look, that's unpopular today. You want to know why? If I was touting angry, if I wanted to really gin people up and get people talking about the show and get people calling, you ought to hear Tony. You got to call. You ought to hear him this morning. Oh my goodness, is he on a tear? He is letting them have it left, right, what? That's the kind of stuff that people want to hear. And but if we're gonna follow God's standard, we've got to be willing to do that even in every circumstance. Believe me, there's anger. I feel anger here about this, but I know God's word tells me that the anger that I feel is a righteous anger that I'm supposed to not allow to lead me into sin or to respond in a way that doesn't reflect what God would have us to do. So anyway, all right, let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about the Shapiro piece here, the Republican pouncing problem. Stay with us.
And here's your host, Dr. Tony Dean.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for listening to the show. We were talking. I want to get to this story. Oh, yeah, we got Bruce over there. Bruce, go ahead. I keep and thank you for calling, by the way, guys. I appreciate your participation in the show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Tony, thanks for your discussion about the drag queen situation. I just wanted to bring up, I was looking on the internet the other day, and I saw the Methodist Church is debating this thing about whether or not to ordain gay priests and whatnot. And the interesting thing was the comments from folks, because folks felt like, well, if you accept these people, that's a wonderful thing. The Methodist Church is so outreaching, and they're not condemning, and they're allowing gay priests and whatever, or gay pastors or whatever. And then other people tried to really say the word of God, and there was a lot of blowback that, you know, we're not loving, we're not caring. And I think you put it really well that we really do need to be humble, but also, you know, stick to God's word. And I think that's something that we struggle with as Christians, is how to love these people, but also not condone their sin. Because I think a lot of people relate, you know, if you love someone, you don't condemn them in any way, or you don't point out their sin or whatever. So just want to say thanks for what you're doing.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate that. You know, Bruce makes a good point here about what defines loving. Let's say that, and this may be a bad illustration, but it's the first one that came to my mind. But let's say that you're a doctor and you have a patient come to you and you look at their x-rays and you realize that they have cancer and it's pretty advanced. And if they don't get some treatment and some help pretty soon, it's definitely a life-threatening situation. Now, let's say that you want to affirm them. You really don't want to be the one to have to tell them the truth about what's going on, about what's happening. And so you instead just affirm them. You just tell them, well, everything's okay. You go home, enjoy your family. You've got a right to live your life any way you want to. So see, that's not a loving. Would somebody say that I was loving that person if I knew that something that was happening with them? Now, I get it. Cancer is something that they don't have any control over, and it's not a behavior. But God's word teaches us that there are behaviors, there are choices that we make that are destructive, and human history bears that out. I mean, you don't find great same-sex cultures of the world that have risen to prominence. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is when God's truth teaches us something important about the world that we live in, it, for us as Christians who embrace God's word and know that it's true, to not speak it because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody, or in the name of making everybody feel good about who they are and what they're doing, we elevate the idea of their well-being, feeling good about themselves, above the truth. And the truth is that when people make some decisions there are consequences that follow those decisions that are hurtful and harmful, not only to them, but to others and to the culture in general. And I just find that to be an unusual, shall we say, argument to say that people, you know, are being unkind. And I see those remarks on Facebook all the time, that what we need to do is be welcoming and we need to be loving. And if we tell people the truth, that that's not a loving thing to do. I don't get that. I mean, if I lie to you, I'm not loving you. I'm not telling you something. If I know something to be true and I hold it back because, you know, I want to support you or what you're doing, and I'm not willing to say to you that this decision you're making is going to have spiritual consequences because God's word is true and there are consequences that follow disobedience of God's word. There is nothing. In fact, you should hope that I would love you enough to tell you the truth, even if the truth is something that you're not going to agree with or like very much.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's my whole point. Jesus talked about not causing one of these little ones to stumble. Now, I won't finish that. Those of you that want to know, well, what did Jesus say about that? Then get your Bible out and look it up. You can look it up in the references, and it'll take you right to it.
I'll be glad to finish it for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be better if you had a millstone hung around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Mm-hmm. Jesus was, and what Jesus was saying, he was not telling people to commit suicide.
No.
He was saying that the consequences of causing children, in particular, to stumble, to take away their innocence, and to put before them things that could cause them to become confused, hurt, take away their opportunity to grow up and know the truth, it would be better for you to not even be here if that is your desire for these children. Now, I'm not suggesting, again, before anybody misunderstands me, I'm not suggesting that millstones be put around anybody's neck. Jesus said, he was talking to us, saying everyone has to, he's not telling Christians to go out and tell people to put a millstone around their neck. He's telling Christians that the severity of causing children to stumble falls along these lines of personal disaster.
Yep.
And that's, you know, so, you know, this is the whole thing, and we've been consistent as we've talked about the drag queen issue. I find it wrong for men to dress as women and carry on in a way that regards their sexuality as something that it's not. I believe that's wrong. But if this was a group of adults that wanted to go down to the library and have a meeting and read books to each other about whatever they want to do, or if they want, then okay, I find that to be strange and in violation of a belief system that I happen to think is true. But okay, but that's not what we're talking about. Again, we're talking about story hour. Just think about the title. Just think about it a minute and go back to what I was talking about, community standards and what any reasonable person would gravitate toward. Okay? Drag queen story hour. Oh, really? What is that? Well, grown men are going to dress up like drag queens, not women. And again, the difference between a female, I mean, this is not, it's a grotesque type of display of dressing like a woman. It's not just putting on a wig and some makeup, okay? So drag queen sitting down and reading a book. You've got a normally innocent situation that takes place between a responsible adult and a child, or a parent and a child, or a teacher and a child, and you take that and you put it in the context, you add the sexual tension and nature of a man dressed up like a woman whose mindset is, who knows what it is. So that's the issue here, and has been for me, and I think for a lot of people from the beginning. And that's why I wish we could get back to a conversation about community standards, because I think that's where this needs to rest. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. Actually, it's a kind of a longer break because it's our 5-minute top of the hour break. You'll hear Fox News at the top of the hour, and then we'll come back with more Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. God bless you. We'll stay with us.